I want to talk to you about growing in grace. You know, it's a weird world we live in right now. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but there's a lot of political hate. Is that not amazing? And I think it's interesting to me that everybody wants to blame the other side for the hate. I don't know if you can hate one-sided or not. I mean, you can, but you got to have a response to that hate. And sometimes we don't know how to respond to hate. We just hate back. That's kind of what human nature is all about, isn't it? 99% of all politicians gives the other 10% a bad reputation. Henry Kissinger said that. One guy said this, Mark Cuban, "I hate politics. It's slimy. Any job where people pander for votes, I don't like it. The country has gotten so partisan that if we're not on my way, on my side, you're the enemy. If you're not on my side, you're the enemy." They say that in social media, the fastest growing groups are hate groups. Wow. I said a couple of weeks ago, if you're not careful, the climate of the world will facilitate in or fall into or work into its way into the church. It will. And the answer to that, I think, is grace. The grace of God. There's somebody said, I'm going to get in trouble today. I'll skip that. Here's the important thing you need to do. You are called to be a witness for Jesus Christ. I have some amazing political views. I have amazing political views. And I know you do too, and mine probably different than yours. It's okay to be different. You got to understand something. Everything on this earth is temporary. Everything on this earth is temporary. We live for eternity. Amen? And we live in a world where people, I think Ben said it best the other day during lunch when we were talking about hate. When you hate something, you close down your thought process. Now nobody can talk to you, nobody can reason with you, nobody can, because you have already developed that position of hate. You ought to pray for this nation because too many people have and are there. And therefore, we can't listen to one another. We can't dialogue. We can't have a conversation. And that becomes a dangerous place. Because I know I'm right. That was a joke. Kinda. I'm going to talk to you about growing in grace. Because if you're not careful, the climate of the world will flow into the church. And if there's anything we got to do is protect God's witness on earth. Amen. And that's us. Us. Growing in grace. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14 through 18. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, talking about the coming of the Lord, being with him, make every effort to be found spotless and blameless and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvations, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all of his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand. Yeah, they are. Isn't that right? I mean, Peter's making note of this, all right? They're hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do other scriptures to their own destruction. Yeah. How many of you know when you stand against the word of God, you're going to lose? You're going to lose. When you stand against God, you're going to lose. All right? Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you will not be, you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. All right, another translation says you're going to stumble if you drift away from these things. So I don't want any of you to stumble. I don't want any of you to fall. I don't want to stumble. I don't want to fall. So then he says this, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. To keep yourself from stumbling, from falling, you got to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, in the next few moments, speak to our hearts and our lives. Help us to be men and women that are growing in grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Notice what he says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Does this mean we should grow in understanding of God's grace toward us? Or does this mean we should grow in showing grace to others? Grow in the demonstration of grace. The idea to grow grace in the original language, to grow grace means to increase, to cause to increase, to become larger, to cause to grow. So that means every one of us should, like you said, in both areas, grow in our understanding of God's grace toward us and grow in our distribution of God's grace. How many of you know that's not easy? Both of those are very hard to do. Both of those require work. You see, grace is graciousness. Grace is attractiveness. You know, I think we should make the church attractive. Amen? And I'm not talking about building. I'm just talking about with attitude. Because that means a whole lot more than how you dress. I mean, dress is important, don't get me wrong. I think we should dress appropriately. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes we in the church have worried more about things that are less important than the important things. And one of the important things is to create a gracious atmosphere, an attractiveness, a charm, a favorable attitude, a kindness. I don't know about you, but I've come to know that the attitude of God toward me is one of love. Glory to God. He loves me. Glory to God. I'm going to tell you, your heart does good when you wake up in the morning and say, I am loved by the Father. There's something powerful about knowing that Jesus loved me so much, he died for me. That's the attitude of God toward us. Now, the truth of the matter is God's attitude toward me ought to overflow out of my life to others. That's right. Now I've called, and now we are called to be grace givers to that which we have received, to cultivate an atmosphere, to cultivate a place of grace where people are safe. You see, it appears to me that according to Scripture, grace is multiplied in our hearts through the knowledge of God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, it says, and grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Do you understand? If you're going to know more grace, you got to what? Be tapped into Jesus and the Father. And the more you're tapped into him, the more you grow in him, the more you know of him, the more your grace you're going to show and demonstrate to everyone you come in contact with. Peter goes on to say this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. Listen to what he says. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. Notice this. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. If you do these things, you will never. Wow. I don't know about you, but I don't enjoy stumbling and falling when it comes to my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So it would be good for us to dominate or to think about these things. Remember what he said earlier in 2 Peter 3:17. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. I would call that stumbling. So you and I need to concentrate on adding to our faith goodness. Goodness. That is virtue. That is excellence in character. Amen? Excellence in character. So here's what the Bible does. And this is what we're guilty of as humans. And when I say humans, I'm including, oh, let that be inclusive, please. Yes. We are guilty of comparing ourselves with everybody else. And I'm a better Christian than they because, you know, I come to church on Wednesday night and they don't. I mean, we are good at comparing ourselves with others. This is what the Bible says. Don't compare yourselves one with another, but compare yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh. Now, that puts me in a different boat than when I compare myself with you because you're a whole lot better than me. But when I compare myself to Jesus, I got a long way to go. It causes me to walk in humility like never before. It causes me to strive after things that keep me moving in the right direction and causes me to excel in being better. Character, goodness, character. And it's goodness, knowledge. How do you gain knowledge? You know, we think somehow that if we just show up at church, I'm going to know God. No, you got to study to show yourselves approved unto God. You just think for one moment that 30 minutes hearing a sermon, you're going to understand the Word of God without applying yourself Monday through Friday, Saturday and Sunday, then you just got another thing coming. We think that somehow if we just get in an atmosphere, the Word of God's going to... It doesn't work that way. You got to read it. You got to study it. Well, there are sometimes I sit before and I don't know what it's saying. I just close the book. Shame on you. I wish you'd do that with the movies you watch. Do you understand? Sometimes we give up too quick. The other thing is this. Have you ever invited the Holy Spirit to help you understand it? Huh? Have you ever had a friend to help you? Have you ever been involved in a small group? A Bible study to help you understand it? There are ways to get knowledge. And you need it. Next thing he says is self-control. Perseverance. Now that's a good one. You know what that is? Patient endurance. I was good until the patient part of that. I don't know. I just get in a hurry. God, you're awful slow in the way you work. I know where I want to go and I want to be there now. And God says, no, I need to develop a little patient endurance in your life. Yeah. That is steadfastness, a perseverance that needs to happen. And godliness. You know what that means? Devoutness. What are you committed to? That is godliness. Amen? Then he says mutual affection. You know what that word there is? Brotherly love. We get that word philia, which is where we get Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Philia, mutual affection toward one another. I love the body of Christ. I love the body of Christ. I love. We are the brotherhood, the sisterhood of faith. Amen? And then he says this, love. It's kind of like the exclamation point of everything, the end of all that you're gaining will produce more love. Amen? Now, here's the problem that I don't know about you, but there are just some people that are hard to show grace to. Have you met that person? Have you stood in the mirror? Just checking. And sometimes it's hard to show grace to people. You know, sometimes people have hard, it's hard to show grace for those who have been emotionally wounded in life. Because when one is emotionally wounded, it hinders their spiritual growth. They kind of take two steps and go back three. Because of the baggage that they carry in their life. But I want you to know, God knows how to heal that. And the grace of God is patient toward you in relationship to the healing process that he wants to do and has planned for your life. Don't give up. And those of us who don't understand that need grace for that person. Amen? You see, when one is emotionally wounded, it becomes a lens by which they see everything else in their life. They've been emotionally wounded through a man, they hate all men. If they've been emotionally wounded for divorce, they hate marriage. I'm going to tell you there's healing in the grace of God for all wounded souls. Amen? And then there are people who are hard to demonstrate grace to because they have a history of guilt. They can't get beyond their own guilt, their own failure. They walk around and they talk guilty. It's my fault. Well, who said that? Nobody said that. It's my fault. I'm guilty. Because the history they carry is one of guilt. Aren't you glad the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin? Amen. Those who carry the baggage of guilt, the history of guilt is, I'm wrong. I'm always wrong. It's hard to have grace for that person, but we have to have grace because the demonstration of grace helps people stay on the path to overcome, to overcome. You know, it's hard to have grace for people that remind you of your own shortcomings. You should know better than that. You did what? You lied to me again? Yeah. They remind us of who we are. And we don't want to have that reminder, so we push them away. It's hard to have grace for those kind of people. I don't know about you, but it's hard to have grace for lazy people. You know, I just think people should fend for themselves. I think people should get up and get out of bed and go. And if you're lazy, you know, I was in the third or fourth grade. I could not spell. I'm now so many years old, and I'm still in that habit. There was no teacher who could correct that and so on and so forth, but I could manipulate my fourth grade teacher really good. Did you study for this test? Yes. Not really. Larry, I don't know what we're going to do. Somehow I passed the fourth grade without spelling. somehow I got a master's degree without spelling. You know what that requires? A very smart editor. I've learned through the years, but some words still confuse me. Laziness. Don't be lazy in your faith. Did you hear me? Yes. Apply yourself to the things of God. Here's what the Bible says. He rewards those who diligently seek him. Amen. Don't be lazy. Here's what I also know. It's hard for me to have grace for others, whether they're wounded or history of guilt or they're lazy. It's hard for me to have grace for others when my heart is hard. See, hardness of heart creates division. Matter of fact, Jesus said this in Matthew 19. When he's talking about divorce, he says this. They ask, and Jesus replied, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. And let me tell you, hardness of heart always creates division. Whether it's in marriage or in church or in the political realm, hardness of heart, when we become so hard-hearted toward those who can't agree with us, who won't do it like we want them to do it or should do it, you can expect division. Yeah, we can get hard-hearted in our self-righteousness. I'm better. We can get hard, to be honest with you, hard-heartedness is a sign of pride. And hard-heartedness really shows up when I'm unwilling to learn, which goes back to our hate that shuts down the learning process. You know, one of the least likely candidates in the Bibles, whose hearts had gotten hard. Listen to this. It's an amazing thing. Hard-heartedness happened to the disciples in the midst of miracles. Jesus comes to them walking on the water. That'll get your attention. Because they saw him and were terrified, immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down, and they were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. He had just fed 5,000, and their hearts were hardened. You know what that means? You and I have to work awful hard to keep our hearts soft. Amen. Soft toward what the Lord needs to do. Soft toward those who need God's grace and mercy. Soft toward those we love the most. Yeah. Now, I just know from experience, sometimes it's easier to show grace to the stranger than my own wife. Forgive me, Lord. Have you met the lady who has 5 husbands? She is living with a man now that is not her own husband. We call her the Samaritan woman. And Jesus said, I must go through Samaria, because he had to meet a wounded soul. Grace. Have you met the thief? He walked in the other day. He was just hanging around with Jesus' people. Something happened in his heart, and nobody was ready for and could not believe. He stood up and gave back all he had stolen with interest. Grace needed, because you don't know how long that's going to last, because he might be stealing tomorrow. We call him Zacchaeus. Matthew. Yeah. Have you met the guy whose first wife ran off with the pastor? There's a couple in this church. A couple of men, that is. Grace needed. Have you met the woman whose mom was murdered? Grace needed. Have you met the teens? No, you haven't, because they don't talk to anyone. They've been labeled, stuck up. In reality, their mother is a drug addict. They have had to watch things I hope you never had to see. There's something wrong, but nothing that grace can't heal. Grace needed. Have you met the guy troubled focusing, moody? He doesn't have many friends. That guy who watched all of his buddies die before his very eyes in Iraq? Bombs, bullets took or wounded everyone he cared about in a matter of seconds. Grace needed. I could go on and on about the stories in this church of people who have been touched by his grace and are in the process of becoming what God wants them to be. You see, here's what grace does. Grace gives you the permission to come to a place of deliverance. Grace gives you a permission to come to a place of healing at the feet of Jesus. Grace gives you the permission to liberate you from the trappings of your past. Can you imagine Noah? He grew up in an atmosphere, in a place where it was total wickedness all around. And the Bible says this, that God says, my spirit is not always going to strive with men. I'm taking them out. They've gone way too far. And the scripture says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of God. It liberated him to find his purpose. You see, grace gives you the permission to discover your purpose in God. Listen to what God says to Moses. To Moses who didn't want to, but ended up going with Aaron as his helpmate. Do you understand that? Moses. This is what God said to him. You have, as he's standing before the mountain trying to lead the people of Israel into the promised land, this is what God said to him. You have also found grace in my sight. Can I tell you something? You can never do what God has called you to do without his grace profoundly changing you and transforming you. It will give you the permission to soar where you never thought you could soar. It will give you the permission to take on giants that everybody says will never fall. I'm telling you, let grace fill the house that we might accomplish for his glory, for his purpose, things that will leave the world baffled. Because of his glory, for his grace. You see, grace gives you the permission to succeed. Grace sees in you what God has designed. To be called and calls you, come up higher. Come up higher. Come up higher. You see, grace not only sees it, not only calls you, but it brings it out of you. Things you never thought were in you. It brings it out of you. I never knew I was gifted in a good way. Some of you are wondering there. Listen, when I was in high school, I didn't say two words all year, all time. They called me everything. Every now and then I'd say something about church. They called me choir boy. then God started loving me. I found his grace in his presence. And he began to pull out of me things I never thought were in me. You want me to do what, God? I can barely talk to a stranger. Barely talk now. There's something that happens when you find a place of grace. It can bring you up out of a hate-filled world and make you shine like stars in the universe. Because there's something holy and wonderfully and magnanimous about what God has done and doing in your heart and life. I don't care what you've been wounded from. I don't care what kind of guilt you've carrying around. I'm telling you, God has an answer in his son, Jesus Christ, that in his name, through the blood of Jesus Christ, you can be healed through his grace. And we're called to be instruments of his grace. This is what it said about the early church. Acts chapter 4, verse 33. And with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. Oh, do it again, God. Do it again, God. Don't you just want the grace of God to be powerful in this place? That means two things. Number one, I got to know him. And number two, I got to demonstrate it like it's never been demonstrated before. Amen. Trust me, God will give you opportunity to demonstrate the grace to all those lazy people out there. That was kind of a joke. Grace. In Ezekiel chapter 11. It's our hope. It really is our hope. The promise that God made Ezekiel. I will give them an undivided heart. I will put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people and I will be their God. Bow your heads with me, please. If there's ever a season that you and I need to stretch forth to be instruments of his grace in a hate-filled world, it is now. It's now. And I don't know where you are. I got a young man in. All he's known is divorce. It's all he watched his mom's done. It's divorce, divorce, divorce. He has and had a problem with lying. A few other problems, but that one shows up. I could kick him off the train. But I know the only healing that he needs is in the grace of God. And I know this. God has put me in his life so that he will know a love that goes beyond mistakes, that goes beyond his lying. See, I believe the grace of God can teach you to say no to drunkenness because he loves you. And he has something better for you than a bottle, than a drug. Yes, your marriage that is bound up in the bondage of pain because of your own history. Maybe it's the history of your dad. Maybe it's the history of every man you dated abused you grace needed. He can heal you. He can heal you. And it's amazing to me, you know, this lady in the scripture, all the people were standing around. Jesus said, if you knew who she was, you would let her tell you. I can't believe she did all that. And Jesus says this, he that is forgiven much, loves much. Sometimes I don't understand the way people worship, but I don't question it. Because I know those that have been forgiven much, love much. And sometimes their love is much more demonstrative than mine. All I can say is love Jesus. Keep loving Jesus. Because I know in loving Jesus, you will gain more knowledge of him. And when you gain more knowledge of him, his grace will overflow in your life. And you will be able to touch others with that grace if your heart doesn't get hard. Because that's a big if. We can let our hearts get so hard, so quick, so easy. Make my heart soft, Lord. In the spirit of this age, Lord, that is hateful, let your people know your grace. Demonstrate your grace.